It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio from Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's April 11th and 12th, depending on when you're listening to this. We no longer have to worry about filing our taxes by April 15th. But, of course, we're all in the middle of the what I call the messy middle of COVID-19. I want to give a big shout-out to my guest from last week, Eleanor Vienne. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and with everything else going on, Eleanor Vienne, who has worked with me for over a quarter of a century, did a great job of explaining our program, Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness. And, of course, without making this show a downer, we also know that in the midst of all the COVID-19 health issues, there's definitely going to be a surge of, you know, mental health issues and domestic and child abuse potentially. So we just wanted to get that word out. So Eleanor did a great job. But with me this weekend is the world famous Anthony Poor. Some of you know Anthony from his Federal Reserve days. More recently, the last 2 years, as the president of New Hampshire Humanities or executive director, and we'll talk about how Anthony made that transition. He also competed with me very effectively in the Dancing with the Stars. I think Anthony, we got probably the last public event in before, and I don't mean to make light of it, but you know, we were lucky that the Dancing with the Stars took off and did, and it was really fun. Just, you know, whatever, a month before COVID-19 got really messy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a couple of weeks. You're right, Tom. I mean, literally, right before everything went down was when we were able to join and get together and have that great fundraiser for NHTI and all the great work they do. Absolutely.
It was fun.
I thought about that, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of couples came back from the prior 10 years, and Anthony was great. I feel like I know all of the players, and it seems like, Anthony, I don't know about you, but that almost seems like a year ago when it was only, you know, a month and a half ago. You know, it's just really the way things have changed.
It's a different world we live in, and it does seem like not only a year ago, it seems like another lifetime ago.
But we had fun, and I think we will return to that. We all the couples had fun. Laura Scott told me we were one vote short of the People's Choice, but we had fun as, you know, most energy or something. And I know that you and your couple got a great award as well. So thanks for all you do for New Hampshire NHTI, and of course I think we'll see the community college system actually, you know, thriving because I think of the economics now of education, and I think we'll see, you know, a continuation of surge of, you know, online learning, you know, even when we emerge from this crisis. But let's talk about you, because you're an interesting man, very intelligent.
Sure.
And I mean that in a very complimentary way. So you and I first got together when you worked for the Federal Reserve, and what people don't realize, obviously, you know, Anthony is very smart from a banking perspective, but was always in his role, many things he did at the Federal Reserve, but one of which was, you know, community involvement, and we're looking for ways to improve the community. And, of course, in my background with Early Learning New Hampshire, the first time we were able to get the word out that the importance of investing in early learning actually came as a result of the Federal Reserve of Minnesota study, which finally put some numbers behind the fact that if you invest in the 0 to 4 years, then things like crime, the success in high school, everything really hinges on the investment from 0 to 4. And to this day, you know, 15 years later, all the Federal Reserves have really gotten, you know, behind that. Anyway, so we'd gotten to know each other through some of that type of community work. So tell us that background, but then segue into, after 25 years in the economic development sector, why you decided to get into the humanities as executive director.
Sure, sure, I'd be happy to. The quick cliff note version would be I'm a Midwestern kid. I grew up in the Rust Belt, Dayton, Ohio. And my mother went to eighth grade. My father was a toolmaker. So simple, humble beginnings. I always recognized that I liked people more than I like things. Believe it or not, Tom, my career started as a social worker. My undergrad is in social work. So I started working as a case manager working with homeless women who were victims of battery, managing a transitional housing program in Dayton, Ohio for a number of years. Flash forward, and you're right, I always did enjoy numbers. I also enjoyed the community development space, and particularly the recirculation of wealth within poorer communities, led me to advanced degrees in community economic development, my MBA, et cetera, and some additional graduate work. Which then, I never thought this, I would then go, after I was the assistant dean for the School of Community Economic Development at the time at Southern New Hampshire University, that's when I transitioned over to the Federal Reserve to help lead their community development effort. And that's when you and I met. So in addition to that, I've always had an interest in volunteerism. And I've always thought to myself that what we can attempt to do is try to identify as many synergies as one can, or what I call mission alignment. And so in my board activities, I've taken on board responsibilities in particular areas that I thought could actually undergird and support my personal kind of vocational interests in specific areas. So let me give you an example. I serve on the board of New Hampshire Community Loan Fund and have for quite some time because I've always been interested in the recirculation of wealth, but particularly alternative community development financial structures. I'm on the board of the Currier Museum of Art because I have an interest in art, and I think that advances our culture and our communities in part. I serve on the board of Manchester Community College, as you know, because I've been a firm advocate for the role of our community college system in support of the state's workforce system as really being our workforce development system. And I serve on the board of the New Hampshire Endowment for Health, and I have also on the board of New Hampshire Southern New Hampshire. So affordable housing, alternative finance, community development finance, these areas have always been things that have interest to me, even in my field, where I looked at how do we create sustainable communities and equitable economies. It's always been in pursuit of that. And so for me to transition from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston to, at the time, being asked to lead the organization called New Hampshire Humanities was seemed like the next step for me, really was. And it gave me an opportunity to take all of my vocational experience and then all of my volunteer experience and move them in support of one central mission. And that's the mission of New Hampshire Humanities, which is creating these safe places for these complex, complicated, and sometimes difficult situations, even in this now digital space.
So, Anthony, you know, you and I, we've talked about this. We're like two peas in the pod because everything you spoke about, you know, the Courier, we've had Alan Chong on this program, and basically he's done a great job at the Courier. And one of the things, you know, he and I have noted is you have to really look at it, you know, holistically, because here we have this, you know, jewel in Manchester. I realize now with social distancing, you know, everything's sort of on a temporary hold, but there's so many things that the Courier is now doing. For example, they're putting on a great program later this year if things settle down with COVID to help out veterans. So that kind of holistic approach, and of course, you know, into education as well. So I commend you, and I know your schedule can be equally hectic as mine. So we've now kind of segued into Zoom conferencing, and so someone asked me just the other day, well, does that mean your schedule is a little lighter? And I said, no, it's actually just different, because essentially we still have the same meetings, they're virtual, and we have to actually make even an extra special effort to stay connected, because no matter how you slice it, I mean, as great as Zoom is, it's certainly not the same. But let's switch gears a little bit. So you have received, your organization has received Humanities a Best of Business Award from Business New Hampshire Magazine for Best Way to Bring Culture to the workplace. So you recognize what we all know, that if you have a great corporate culture, like, there had been a talent war. Well, we you know, Northeast Delta Dental with our reputation and authentically what we do. We've never really had a problem, you know, with attracting talent because of the culture. Not that we pay people outside of the 50th percentile. You know, we don't. So we all know the importance of that. So how have you now sort of integrated the Humanities at Work program, given what we had to do because of the COVID-19 crisis?
Right. Well, originally when we launched Humanities at Work, just stepping back for a hot second, in January of, gosh, I guess now it was 2019. We did that because we recognized that historically our programming, particularly in the face-to-face model, was reaching a specific audience, and we weren't really able to go deep with the audiences that we were particularly concerned with, which is our working families. And like you, Tom, I don't know, I can speak for myself, I spend a tremendous amount of time at work, and sometimes I spend more time at work than I do with my very own families. And so we thought, well, gosh, if we are going to serve our mission to the fullest extent possible, we need to make sure that we make our programming accessible and readily available. And that's when we thought we'd take our programming into the workplace, and we launched Humanities at Work. Well, now that's changed, to your point. And, you know, for the purposes of the audience, thinking about the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on our work, our bottom has completely dropped out. That is to say that our business model, how we operate, and remember, keep in mind, Tom, last year we supported 749 programs all around this state, all free of charge. Not including our fee-for-service work, like you referenced, our Humanities at Work. Those are all free. Those are all based upon people coming together in a library, in a nonprofit organization, a historical society, to come together to share their experience, whether through literature, through arts, et cetera. That's no longer available. So we recognized immediately that in order for us to survive this crisis, right, that we needed to be nimble in our delivery, in our design, and we had to adapt our business model to the current operating environment. And really, in this era that we find ourselves in, you know, steadfastly focus on the needs of our constituencies across the state. So we've really been tasked, to go to your next question, really kind of that nice segue, which is, you know, we recognize that we had to adapt, sir, and so we're transitioning as we speak from an organization that was based upon the business model, bringing our programming into places in this face-to-face interaction, to really transitioning to a 100% digital humanities organization, all within the time frame of basically 3 months.
Well, so hold right there. The website is NewHampshireHumanities, all one word, .org. And this is, before we go to commercial break, your opportunity to suggest to employers how you can help support New Hampshire Humanities. So go for it. Be as transparent and frontal as possible.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. Hey, if you want to support New Hampshire Humanities, like Tom said, you can find us at nhhumanities.org. 40% of our budget, we have an operating budget of $1.35 million. We have a staff of full-time, fully competent, 11, as you know. That may change down the future without your support. I believe culture and the arts is a critical element to our community's long-term economic viability and sustainability. If it's not about affordable housing, quality schools, or perception of public safety, it's access to art and cultural opportunities. And we want to continue to provide those, but we can only do that with the support of your listeners, Tom. So if they've got any questions about what we're doing, I know we're going to talk about it later, and I'm excited. Have them call me directly there in the office, or they can reach us on our website, again, at nhhumanities.org.
Perfect. And Anthony will, what's your phone number, Anthony? Because Anthony will pick up the phone and answer it just as I do.
And just for the purpose of those listening, because we do practice physical distancing at New Hampshire Humanities, I do go in the office. I'm the only one there. I practice physical distancing there at home. You can reach me at 224-4071.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and this weekend with me is the esteemed and great Executive Director of New Hampshire Humanities, Anthony Poor. Today is either April 11th or 12th, depending on when you're listening to this, and I know we're all struggling and being challenged with COVID-19, but one of the things that I've been doing with my own employee colleagues and board members and my other stakeholders is try to give a COVID-19 update, but then kind of get into sort of more normal routines. And I'm still you know, jogging. I'm still trying to stay fit, although I have to admit I've been doing many more emails than I normally do, simply because that is one of the methods of communicating. Anthony, of course, is the executive director of New Hampshire Humanities, and again, the website is nhhumanities, all one word, .org, and Anthony can be reached at 224-4071. And of course, Anthony's had to make a major shift in the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks given COVID. But I do want to mention that before we had to, you know, make that shift, I just want to give Anthony's organization a shout out, because some of the greatest feedback that I've gotten from my employees is when we do training and development, and lots of times, quite candidly, it's, you know, like Outlook and how to get along as a team and a lot of the, you know, total quality management and stuff. But we also do, we have partnered with the humanities, and we had an event called a New Hampshire Humanities event, Abernathy Survival in Northern New England. And so we had a presenter talking about that. This, again, this was pre-social distancing. And Anthony, I must say, we got the, you know, the highest marks for, you know, for that for that program. And I was thinking that's kind of like we were talking about the Dancing with the Stars. But that program, which was, I think, around Mark 6th, was right again before, you know, we probably can't do this program now, obviously. So I just why don't you describe that, how you partnered with employers on that, not necessarily specifically Northeast Delta Dental, because I think whether this ends up being virtual in the future or we go back to the old norm, I think employers would want to know this.
Well, no, I appreciate that opportunity, Tom, and it's as important to note for the listeners that we're going to continue on with that work because we think it's vital and we think it's really important work that both supports the individual but also the employer. So we launched Humanities at Work, again, for those who didn't hear it earlier, as a means to make our program more accessible. We wanted to really focus in on working families. I went and interviewed a number of employers all around the state, large, medium, and small, and said, question one is there a business need for this kind of programming to be brought into the workplace? The next question was, if so, how should it be delivered to maximize participation and impact for you? And then three, how much as a fee for service, how much is this, what's a reasonable expectation in terms of what it could cost us, but how can we make this more accessible for the smaller firms, particularly members of the BIA or New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, which is a vitally important organization as well. So we got answers to those questions, and we realized that, number one, there is a business need because businesses were looking for low-cost, effective employee engagement strategies that led to increased employee satisfaction. You and I both know, Tom, as I'm a small business, you know, I basically operate a small business as you do. You have a larger business than I do, but at the end of the day, ensuring that we have the opportunity to create positive experience for our employees lends itself to increases in efficiencies, increases in productivity, and more importantly, increased retention. And when historically, again, this is a different world we live in, we had an unemployment rate of 2.6%. We looked at the Humanities to Go program as a means to mitigate or assist our employers in mitigating the issues we just identified.
Absolutely.
It took off. People seemed very pleased. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, like I said, the highest marks that we've gotten in our, and we do, as you know, through we have a great VP of HR and her team, Connie. But Damian Costello was terrific talking about the Abernathy survival. And again, as Anthony, you might say, okay, well, how does that do with employee engagement? But, you know, when we were in the midst of this, you know, talent war, we never had a problem because you have engaged employees that want to self-actualize and get this stuff. So I would highly recommend this. Again, call Anthony at 224-4071, and he will, like me, pick up the phone and answer it. And the website is nhhumanities.org.
Tom, just if I can just finish one thought, or just
absolutely,
so the listener knows. Number one, all these programs are delivered over the lunch hour, right? And so what we wanted to do was provide opportunities, and this is some of the feedback we received. The employees, as far as our report back to the employers, the vast majority of employees who participated, and this is in the hundreds, said, it was so nice for them to come outside of their work experience and talk about everything but work for an hour so they could go back to their work experience and feel refreshed. And I thought that was particularly interesting insight, and I think spoke to the value of the program. This is going to continue. A number of employers, particularly some of our educational SAUs, have reached out to us and said, we're seeing what you're doing now in this digital space as you make this transition. How could you help us? And so now we're even trying to figure that out. So ideally, like, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about, we're doing our best to make lemonade out of lemons.
I love it. And, yeah, and I think in terms of education, I mean, the partnering, and when I was chair of the State Board of Ed, this is what we were looking for, you know, partnering with the Discovery Center, partnering with the New Hampshire Humanities, et cetera. Also, would you, before we get in specifically to the CARES Act and what it might do for New Hampshire's cultural organizations, because I know you have to just pick up the papers and based on all the emails I'm getting, because I'm like you, I'm on so many of these boards, you know, it's
right.
You know, it's challenging. But before we touch on that, I also want to give you a big shout out. In the spirit of transparency, some of you in my listening audience know that I'm chair of the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts. So Anthony, even though I'm a jock, like I'm a you know, like into the Courier and all this stuff, I was chair of the Symphony Orchestra, so I never really could play an instrument, but I really got a great appreciation for people, you know, flautists and the first violinist and all that stuff. But so tell us, you've grouped up with Tricia Soule, who is the executive director of New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts. So tell us a little bit how informally you link those two organizations, yours and Tricia's.
Well, sure. And I've had the opportunity to know Tricia for some years now. I've respected her work for so many years. But, you know, as a membership organization, Tom, the needs of your membership organization are not dissimilar to why we even launched Humanities at Work in the first place, right? Which is you want to provide your members access to information or professional development training opportunities that they might not otherwise have, right? And so, and that's the role of a membership organization. So we thought, if we want to maximize participation and make this as accessible and readily available to our employers as much, let's leverage our membership organizations, our chambers, the state BIA with Jim Roche and his group, and of course Tricia in the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, and make these programs available at a discounted rate. And so all the members of the NHBCA, as well as members of the BIA, all will receive a deep discount should they want to pursue this opportunity. We thought that helps support their organizations as being good community partners, and at the same time allows us to expand opportunity and ideally increase accessibility.
And that's awesome. And of course, with putting aside COVID-19, we've always said those of us in the not-for-profit world realize that there are so many not-for-profits, and more we need to do more collaboration. So I was really happy to, when Tricia, mentioned that, the two of you were chatting as well as with the BAA. So I salute and congratulate you. And I think we've probably spurred a lot of interest in the employer population out there. So I encourage you to become a member if you're not already, nhhumanities.org, or call Anthony at 224-4071. Now, obviously, we're right in the what I call the messy middle of COVID-19, and why don't you talk about the CARES Act, and we don't have a lot of time left, but tell us more what you think the CARES Act might do for New Hampshire's cultural organizations.
Sure. So the CARES Act is that $2.2 trillion stimulus package that was passed in legislature last week, signed into law. Now, as part of that, the National Endowment for the Humanities, or what we call the NEH, received $75 million in supplemental funding to assist our cultural organizations around the country that were affected by the coronavirus or COVID-19 as part of this stimulus package. It's really stabilization. It's about sustainability. So, and I've seen a couple of things that have been out there, and so this is an interesting opportunity to kind of clarify. So, from the CARES Act, the NEH received $75 million. Now, of that $75 million, not to get too weedy here, but about 40% of that appropriation, or $30 million, it was directed to each of the 56 state councils, right, or state humanities organizations. So I am one of 56. And of that 56, $30 million is divvied up based upon a population count. Again, not to get too weedy here. So what does that mean? And the goal here is to provide grants or general operating grants to at-risk local humanities organizations who have been financially impacted by the COVID-19. So essentially, we've been asked to be a pass-through organization by the federal government to make these monies available in the form of operational grants or sustainability grants to the arts and cultural organizations around the state. We don't, you know, contrary to what I think was put out there, we don't actually receive a penny of these monies. And so there's no administrative overhead. There's no carve out for our state humanities councils. We're just a pass-through organization. And
you're
so that's part of
a coordinator, an educated coordinator and pass-through.
That's key, Tom, if I may, because
sure.
Not only are we going to be a grantor, but I think the most critical role we're playing in the state is that of communication and coordination. Because remember our counterparts in the state, Tom. So we're the NEH, the National Endowment for the Humanities. They got a $75 million allocation from that appropriation, but as did the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts. And my counterpart, Jenny Loopy, and the Arts Council of New Hampshire received a similar allocation, similar amounts, et cetera. So it's going to be really critical, and I've reached out. On Wednesday, Sarah Stewart, Commissioner Stewart, myself and Jenny Loopy had our first meeting to talk about what does this mean for the state and how do we coordinate and effectively communicate amongst one another so we can maximize the impact in relationship to the sector. So not only are we going to be a grantor, but I think we at New Hampshire Humanities are going to have to play a critical role for the state in trying to coordinate amongst all of the state partners these basically sustainability grants.
Right.
You're
working with Commissioner Stewart on this, so that's a great sort of example of the state partnering with the not-for-profit world. So that's great.
Well, we think it's the most effective way to do this work in the most authentic and prudent way possible. We do not want to squander the opportunity. Many of these arts and cultural organizations are shuttered. You know, we at New Hampshire Humanities have been, impacted by this as well, where we've had to make reductions in staff and staff hours, those kinds of things. But there are organizations around the state who are really suffering, even more than we are, who can no longer afford to pay their staff. You know, we have the blessings of having some reserves who hopefully can get us through this time. We have friends who can maybe support us over time. But many of these smaller arts and cultural organizations simply don't have the means. And so it's our job to step up and be good neighbors and support our peers to the extent possible in coordination with the state and in coordination with our peers at the New Hampshire Council for the Arts.
And I can't think of a better person than you to lead that effort and be the coordinator. So direct all questions regarding CARES to Anthony at 224-4071. I'm doing the same thing when it comes to questions from our participating dentists and so forth, so I understand that your phone will be ringing off the hook. So we have. So thank you for that, and, of course, all funds we know will need to be used. We have a whole year, though, September 30th of 2021. So more on that Anthony, 224-4071. But in the 30 seconds we have remaining, once we get over this crisis, how do you envision the work of New Hampshire Humanities will have changed in any positive ways and for the future?
Sure. I think, number one, it's allowed us to make the transition into this digital space much more quicker than anticipated. So as you saw, Tom, and everyone, many of your listeners received it on Thursday, will be the fourth in our new edition called Human Time, right, which is our ability to get our content out into the space. So whether you want to read it, you want to watch it, or you want to listen to it, there's a piece of content every Thursday at noon that's available. You also see our staff picks. Look for mine this week. It should be pretty fun. And then you'll see also materials that we're making available to our parents who are teaching their kids or hoping to teach their kids at home. So every week there's the supplemental information for teachers at home. You're also going to see us launching our new book reading series called Connections, which we've had historically working in our prisons, our jails, et cetera. We're going to do some video work of that. And now we're launching, hopefully very, very soon, we're building it and flying it concurrently, we're going to be launching our Friday's Humanities work. And so Friday evening, we launched the first beta test this Friday. It was very well received. So people can plan their lives around some activities from us. So You can count on us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday to make our content available in this digital space. Lastly, the thing, we'll also be coordinating our grants work, and that will continue. So we're going to be a digital humanities organization who's also going to, let me step back, if I may. We're going to be no different than we were in the past, Tom. We're going to be a convener, although we may be doing it in a different space. We're going to continue to be a funder, as we need to do support our peers and our neighbors in the state, help them get through this critical time. And we're going to continue to be a catalyst for positive systems change.
A catalyst, coordinator, and collaborate. Exactly. Anthony, we're blessed that that somehow the universe opened the humanities up for you, so you joined it just when we needed it most. So, again, nhhumanities.org, Anthony 224-4071. If you have questions on CARES or what the New Hampshire Humanities are doing. And, yes, those programs that you've described are awesome. Anthony Poor, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Tom, so much, and thank you so much. And just hope everybody stay safe out there.
Exactly. So, again, nhhumanities.org.